I want to share first today, because I believe God wants to do some ministry with us, particularly in the worship, an opportunity for people to respond this morning to some of the things God's saying. And I want to sort of just bring into context some of the things that God has been doing and saying. What's happening here is a prophetic fulfillment over years. For some of us, you know, the longing for God to move in power has been there for years and years. God's spoken to us many, many times over the years about God moving. You know, I can remember over, 18, 19 years ago, seeing pictures and dreams of God moving in power and just seeing the grace of God touch people's lives. And so some of what's happening really is a fulfillment of that. And God is continuing to speak. And this is just the beginning, because God is preparing us for what's to come. You know, and however good it is to see people coming and to see people's lives being changed, it's like there is more. This is still mostly preparing the church. You know, it's still mostly stirring up the church, re-envisioning and re-impassioning the church. Not so much us as a church, because we've sort of been in that place of we've been seeing God move in power, but actually so many other churches out there, this is new. And for some, you know, they've had a passion in their hearts. And we've heard testimonies of people where God has spoken to them years and years ago of something happening, and they're saying, wow, this is it. Well, actually, it isn't it. It's the beginning of it. And there's so much more to come. So much more. And I want to encourage people not to miss that. We've had people contact us from India about coming over. A ministry in India. I looked at the guy's website. The guy's moving in awesome stuff in India. But God spoke to him about a revival breaking out in Barnstable. And he spoke to him back in March. So he's got a visa and he wants to come over. Yeah, I've had an email from someone in Spain. A couple of guys in Spain want to come over. We've had people from all around the area. I had an email this week from someone in the east, Roger Forster and Faith Forster's son, Kristen, who's heard what's going on, seen the website, and basically said, look, give us some information. We want to publicize what's going on. Chris has had contact with a guy from Dudley. What's his name? Trevor Baker. He's going to come down. And hopefully we'll let him minister as well. That'll be great, you know. So things are starting just to spread, you know, and this is just the beginning. What we need to do is actually pray that people don't miss it who are close to home, including us, because it's like we can be familiar with what's going on and still miss stuff for ourselves and the other churches around here. You know, what's going on is causing a division of opinion. Some people are saying, yeah, that's God, and other people are saying, woo, stay away. You know, and you know, I want people to judge what's going on, particularly if they haven't even been, to experience it and miss out and let the enemy spoil things in what he wants to do in this area. So we really need to pray. When we went up onto Codden Hill, we really prayed that God would break down the barriers. I got a meeting on Tuesday with some of the church leaders, in which I want to invite Mike along to talk to them, so that we can actually, you know, we've got a Pentecost festival planned for all the churches, and you know, probably we're still going to be going with meetings when that stuff takes place. And actually, you know, that's what we'll be doing as part of the Pentecost festival, celebrating the presence of the Holy Spirit in power, touching people's lives. So pray for that meeting on Tuesday. I think it's really important what God is really doing. Prophetic words are being released and fulfilled at this time. And I want to read some words that we've received this week. I've read one of them before. I want to read a couple of others. This one, it says, I was praying in the morning on May the 5th, which is this week, when the Holy Spirit took me to heaven. I've been there before, but this time it was very, very bright. The light was so intense I couldn't see that far, and I was aware of being in the throne room. There was a great noise, a sound from many instruments, but there was also a great peace. I asked why I couldn't see that much, and the Holy Spirit told me that I hadn't spent that much time in His presence, so my eyes were not accustomed to the heavenly light. I was told that I was not ready to see all the revelation that God had for me, but as my eyes grew used to the light, more and more would be revealed to me. And that can be for all of us. God wants all of us to have those encounters with him. Out of the bright light, I saw several figures approaching me. As they got closer, I could see four angels. As they started to speak, suddenly lightning bolts flew out on the throne room onto the angels. I was at first quite alarmed because the lightning was so close and so powerful, but I realized that the lightning was not harming the angel. It was touching their mouths as they spoke. They told me, "We are carrying bowls of the prayers of the saints. Prayers of the saints who've long since passed away, and all the prayers of the saints who are alive. All these prayers have been a sweet incense, a delight before the Father. Now is the time for us to return with the bowls and pour out God's answer onto Barnstable, onto Freedom, and onto the complex area here. We will be pouring out healing, salvation, deliverance like no one in Barnstable has ever seen before. Demons will scatter in all directions. The ground has been prepared. His children are prepared for a great outpouring of fire. This will ignite Barnstable and spread in all directions. It will join up with several other fires I've started around the country. The media will come, the religious will come, so will the mob to mock, but all will fall at the power of his hands. The Father has given you the heavenly finances to release his people from debt and poverty, to release them to do his work, to enable the church to mobilize, to gather a harvest of souls that will come through this outpouring. So now get up, go and get yourself ready." Now that's we need to listen to that word. And there's another word here. Again, I was speaking in tongues this morning on May the 7th, looking out of my window and looked up and saw a huge angel in the sky. It was the same angel I'd seen in heaven. He was holding a golden bowl in his hands. I saw him pour the bowl over Sticklepath. Then I realized there were four angels pouring out their bowls at the same time, one over Newport, another over Pilton, and the other over Freedom. I asked, "Why are these places, Lord?" And he said, "Over Sticklepath it will spread out towards Biddeford, over Newport it will spread up the valley, over Pilton it will spread out towards the coast, over Freedom it will spread up the Link Road. All four will meet in the middle of Barnstable." After the bowls had been poured out, I saw the angels holding their positions. I saw the lightning that hit the angels from the throne of heaven come out of their mouths and come down to strike all those Christians who had been revived, those who were earnestly seeking him, all those who had God on the throne of their lives. The lightning, which was strong and powerful, had struck the Christians. When they opened their mouths, the lightning came out of their mouths and was bringing salvation, healing, and deliverance. Yeah, that's basically saying at the end there, this is for all of us to be involved. But we have to open up our hearts and allow God to use us in the way he wants to use us, not the way we think he might want to use us, or the way we might like to be used, but the way he wants to use us. I'll share a bit more about that in a minute. There's another prophetic word. I saw a temple on a small hill. The temple and the hill were glowing from the beacons of the fire around the temple walls, and I noticed that the glow also came from the temple, which was consumed by the fire and glory of God. Then over the surrounding hills came a thin carpet of fire, moving towards the temple, being drawn by the glory fire. As I looked closer, I saw it was actually people carrying burning torches. As they moved towards the temple, I saw other people stood with their eyes shut, sleeping, holding unlit torches. Those with the burning torches lit them on the way past, and suddenly these people woke and joined the move towards the temple of the glory. Next, I saw the fire enter the gates of the temple grounds and fill the area within the walls. When the area filled up, they gathered outside around the temple walls, and I all heard them worshipping and praising the Holy One. Suddenly I was hovering way above the scene, and I saw the fire extend outwards like ripples in a pond. As it expanded, it thickened and kept growing, the fire on the temple growing more and more intense as the fire spread. Then it seemed to go higher, and I saw the whole land around, and ripples and spots of fire appearing, spreading and joining together till the whole land was ablaze. Then I realized where it was the UK, and the temple is where Barnstable is. The temple I know represents the soon to be United Church in Barnstable. This is revival, you know. And so, you know, these words are being released, and those words are being released right now to encourage us to press in for more, to see, look, this is the beginning and you're part of it. It's like, don't take it for granted what's going on here. It's like, it doesn't happen in many places. God chooses places that he's prepared over years and years. And we've had prophetic words over what God's going to do in this area, particularly about fires spreading and fires joining up with other fires over years and years. You know, and these things are starting to find their fulfillment. Don't miss out. You know, don't miss out on what God is doing here. It won't always be the same as it is now, because it's going to change and evolve and grow into other things. But now is a time that you can get into that presence and allow him to do what he needs to do in our lives to prepare us for what's to come. So gifts are being released and ministries are being raised up right now. You know, those of you who are pressing in, giving an opportunity for God to use you, he's going to start to release more and more gifts. It's been excellent just to see people starting to minister and to pray. That is going to continue. God has shown us that. You know, the fact that God has called us to be a regional center of equipping in the supernatural is starting. That's why people are coming from all over the place. You know, this is a fulfillment of a prophetic word that God's given us about what he wants this place to be here. And that isn't just about evening meetings. Obviously, we've got to equip people to live in the supernatural realm, live it out in the marketplace, in their daily lives. So it's an awful lot more than just running meetings, but the meetings are the fire that's drawing people. You know, Becky saw a long time ago that this place was on fire and people started coming down all the roads and the hills and the paths and were drawn. Now, we know that's nothing, not because we're special or we're anything better than anybody else, and we have to really be careful not to get any pride in anything that's going on. It's God. You know, yes, we've been willing, and over the years we've been willing to sacrifice and pray and put into that, but actually it's God. You know, and God is drawing other people, and he wants to bless people. He wants to bless this area and see this whole area spread out to bring that blessing. That's what some of those prophetic words are about. You know? So this is starting to happen. And more of this is going to happen. You know, when I brought that word about being a regional apostolic center, you know, last year, I think some people were like, what's that mean? How's that going to happen? You know, but God has got his way of doing things. You know, now we can start to see all of a sudden people from all over. People have come from Plymouth and Exeter, Taunton. There's a couple who are coming from Ilminster, I think, every day. They've hardly missed a day. You know, traveling in every day, back and forward. Miles, because they're hungry and they can sense the presence of God. And as people who live down the road, actually, who won't even cross the door, you know, because God is drawing those who are hungry. It's like, don't be unhungry, if you know what I mean. Don't ever be satisfied, because there's always more in God. It's like God wants us to be hungry and thirsty for more of his presence and his power. He wants us to be hungry and thirsty for more. You know, you can never be satisfied with God, can you? Because he's so big. He's enormous. He's infinite. There's so much. The whole of eternity we'll be finding out more about God. But let's find out as much as we can now. Because what we do in these 70, 80, 90, or 120 at least years, as the Bible tells me I can have it, so why not? But in that time, that is preparing for what we will be doing in eternity. The rewards and the things we will be doing is determined by what we do now. It won't all be the same in heaven. People will have different roles, different responsibilities, and that heaven, of course, is coming to the new earth when it gets released. God is coming to dwell with us. The whole universe and universes and other things that God has got are going to be released. Don't be cleaning the toilets when you can be by the throne. Because, to be honest, it's like what you do here will depend on what you're going to be doing there. And God is looking for hearts here who are his, who he can trust in the future with the things that he's prepared. Now, every one of us has got a destiny. God has prepared a vision for us, a scroll in heaven which has written everything he's prepared. It's like, don't miss it. Now, don't miss it for the sake of stubbornness and strongholds and your own way of thinking. Time to give it all to God. God is wanting it all. No, this move of God is preparation. Don't miss it. Get everything you can now. It's time to abandon yourselves to God. Give him everything. Don't hold anything back. Don't let pride or past stuff get in the way of what God wants to do in your life. because this is a precious time and an opportunity for some of you. And actually, if you miss it now, you could miss it. That's how serious these words are. God is saying, now is the time. Now I'm giving you an opportunity to get involved and really let me have the whole of your life. Because that's what he wants. You know, we've looked at this prophetic timetable. I want to just briefly just touch on the first bit of it to finish that off from last week. You know, God is revealing things through the prophetic word and through prophetic books in the Bible and opening the Bible up because he's pouring out his spirit. He's giving fresh revelation. We're getting some of that. Other people around the world are getting some of that. He's starting to bring it together because he's preparing for Jesus to return, preparing for a harvest to come, preparing the church to rise up. And I'll be sharing that in weeks to come. There are prophetic periods that God is going to use. Each one of those periods is bringing us closer and closer. Each period that God moves is calling us into something new and fresh. And actually, it requires deeper levels of holiness, deeper levels of commitment, deeper levels of power and authority, and that's what he wants to release. You know, 1 Chronicles 2:12 there, 32, the sons of Issachar, men who understood the signs of the times with knowledge of what to do. God wants us to know what to do. That's why he's speaking prophetically to us. Be ready. That, again, is the picture of some of the things that are going to be happening. But on this, it's like, I want to just say, what we've seen so far in the church, across the world, in the revivals that have happened in the past, are nothing compared to what is going to happen. And I would encourage you to read God's General, both books. They're big, thick books of hundreds and hundreds of pages each, but they're both stories of the past revivals when God has poured out his spirit through people. I was talking to people from the Salvation Army last night who've been coming to these meetings, really impacted. They're going to this morning try and encourage more people to come. But I was talking to them about what happened with William Booth when he started the Salvation Army. When you read his testimony and the awesome things that happened on the streets and in meetings with the power of God, it's like, you know, most of the people in the Salvation Army wouldn't have a clue. You know, I was brought up in the Methodist Church. When you read the history of Wesley and Whitfield and what they did in those past revivals and the power of God which is demonstrated and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, right now it would freak them right out because they don't know. I didn't know. I was brought up in that church. I had no idea. It was just a Methodist church. I didn't know what Methodism was. No one ever told me it was birthed in revival. You know, and actually the church I went to was birthed in the Shebbia revival in the 1800s. Bible Christian movement. And so I was in the Bible Christian church. No one ever told me. Never heard about it. And it's like, oh, what's all that about? We've forgotten our heritage. We've forgotten what God has done. We need to know what he's done so that we won't repeat the mistakes of what have been repeated before. And we'll be excited about what he's going to do. Because all those things are going to come together. Every revival and every mantle and every authority that's been released in those previous things are going to come together in the end time for an outpouring of the Spirit like nothing has been seen before. Smith Wigglesworth's prophecy of when the Word and the Spirit comes together and churches who operate in the Word and the Spirit come together in unity, releasing a revival which is going to go hit the whole world. We're in those days where that's starting to take place. And we really need to grasp it right now, grasp hold of it. You know, I talked about the manifest wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God being released last year, and we are starting to see these things released. You know, the light that's in us is starting to come through the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in ministries, releasing ministries here. We're getting revelation of the Spirit of God. Offices are being raised up. The kingdom is coming in more and more fullness. We need to see that this is us. You are those gifts, those ministries. You're going to get revelation. It's not one or two people. Some people are going to be raised up in offices. Some people are going to have ministries that go all over the world. Some people are just going to stay here and actually lay the foundations of the kingdom of God. But this needs to be manifest through us. And God wants to reveal himself because he is all that. The fruit of the Spirit, that's his character. The gifts of the Spirit, that was what was upon him. The anointing of the sovereign Lord was upon him. It's upon us. Those ministries are the ministries he raised up to administer the church. That God is wanting to move. A revival center. That's what God is wanting to do here. Us to be a habitation of God, to equip others, to bless others, to give away everything that God's given us. I know people can take that the wrong way, thinking, well, you saying you've got it all. No, we're not. We're just saying we want to give you what we've got and we'll receive what you've got. Because I had a picture, a vision of waterfalls being poured out over the churches in this town and over this area, and all the rivers coming together in color, all the colors coming together as one river, releasing an explosion of light. That will happen if we're willing to receive and give and be in unity with one another, honoring, respecting each other's churches and tradition and everything else, but all pressing in for what God is going to be doing. And God is going to do that. He's going to equip people in supernatural ministry. They're going to be cities of refuge, where in the things that are going to come, if you read about cities of refuge in the Old Testament, there were places where people could come and be safe. And God is going to raise this place up as a city of refuge, and this area of Barnstable, because of what's coming, there's going to be need of a place of safety. All the creative gifts are going to be released. You know, some of you have got creative gifts in your heart. You know, God is giving you that creativity and he wants to release it, whether it's in music or the arts, in media, and all sorts of things. God is going to release that. But he's got to remove the stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks are things which trip us up, trap us, ensnare us. They can be things in us, and we can be stumbling blocks ourselves if we are not flowing with God. 1 Peter 4:17, it's time for judgment to begin with the household of God. God is going to challenge the church with a sword, saying, are you for me? Are you against me? It is a challenge that's coming. Gathering angels have been released. They are here. They've been coming here for the last 6 months, waiting. They've been operating in some people to remove the stumbling blocks and the lawlessness from the kingdom. It's in Matthew 13 where those scriptures come from. The true church is going to be separated from the religious institution. God is going to separate it. Yeah, he's not going to put up with doctrines of demons and tradition which rob people from the truth. And there is going to be stuff that's coming. Every move of God has caused warfare in the church. We go back to Pensacola, Toronto, different places, even in modern times, Lake London, things like that. It has caused a division of opinion. Those who are saying that's the devil and those who are saying that's God. Those whose lives have been transformed by those times know what they were. They know they were from God. Even though we know, yes, there's some flesh in it, because we're human, and we always sometimes get in the way. But actually, don't just think, look at the things in the flesh and miss what God has been doing in the spirit. You know, the world is going to be removed from the true church.
Hallelujah.
And that will include people and certain ministries who will not surrender and submit to what God's doing in these days. This is stuff that's coming. Idols are going to be removed from our lives, but we can proactively surrender and allow God to do that now. We don't have to wait until he comes and pins us to the ground. We can say, yeah, I want to get on my face before God and allow you to do anything in my life. Whatever's there, the flesh, pride, rebellion, immorality, unbelief, any of it, if we surrender, he will do it. If it is to be, it is up to me. God is not going to force us. He wants our involvement. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to say yes to him. To say yes. Give us an opportunity to say yes. And we will shine like the sun. The glory of God is going to be shining through his people. The light has come and that light needs to be released. It's no good having it trapped up on the inside of us. Needs to be manifested through us in power. The true sons of God are going to be revealed. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about the whole of creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of God's sons, of his people, of his children. Sons means sons and daughters, who are actually reflecting the glory of Jesus, who are here as Christians, little Christs. Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's the anointed one and his anointing. That's what it means. So when we're Christians, we are anointed ones and we carry his anointing and his power. I think people just don't understand what the word means. You know, when you read Christ, it means anointed. an anointing, and we are to carry the anointing and be the anointed ones, to be his sons. All those ancient anointings and mantles and new ones are going to be released in these days. But don't miss out. Do not miss out. Galatians 2:20 is a key scripture in surrendering to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. Are we going to embrace it? We're going to allow him to kill us. Because we're going to surrender ourselves to that crucifixion of the flesh. Anything which is going to hinder and cause us to be a stumbling block or cause us to miss out, all that stuff that's happened to us, all the pain and the hurt and the disappointment and the people who've let us down and the abuse that we've suffered and all the things that have happened in our lives, are we going to allow it to stop us, or are we going to use it as a springboard and say, I'm not going to let that stuff stop me. I'm going to surrender it to God. I'm going to be healed, restored, made whole, allow him to change my life and get on and do the things that he's called me to do. He wants to live through us. You know, the New Age movement has robbed us of so much because they have counterfeited what is real. You know, when you thought about being a channel of the Holy Spirit or a channel for God's power, it's like, ooh, you can't do that. Because the New Age movement are talking about channeling spirits. Well, we're supposed to be a channel of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water are supposed to flow through us. We're supposed to be those who God moves through, who God lives in, so that people see God in our lives. This is how we do it. Romans 12:1. I urge you, and this is strong language from Paul, I urge you, by the mercies of God, in other words, God will enable us to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, that's what worship is. Worship is not singing songs. We can express our worship through singing songs, but worship is bowing down in obedience and saying, you are God, and I submit and surrender to you. I present my life as a living sacrifice. You use it how you want to use it. I'm not going to get in the way. I'm not going to determine what I'm going to do in my life. I'm going to surrender it to you. You lead me. Those who are children of God are led by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So we're not conformed to this world. We don't have to come under the rules and regulations of the world. Not talking about the ones which are the rules and regulations of the land. Those that we have to honor the people who are over us in authority. But I'm talking about the things of the world which keep us down. The things which say to you, you're not good enough. You'll never be anything. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's not looking for people with great intellect. He's looking for people who are available and willing. It's like, it's not about knowing how much head knowledge we've got of the Bible. It's knowing him. It's knowing Jesus. It's actually having a personal relationship. No one in this room is excluded from that. Nobody. You know, it's like, you might have university degrees. Great. You know, I had an education in that way. Did that help me in knowing God? No, it didn't. Most of the time it got in the way. Because I rationalized, analyzed, and thought about it, rather than feeling it, experiencing and knowing it. And now I'm experiencing it and knowing it, it's a total revelation to meet with God and know him and have heavenly encounters and meet with the Holy Spirit and know what God is saying and receive visions and direction and dreams from God. That's how he wants to speak to us. Not in our head knowledge. He wants it to be real. We can't know God but by experience. Not about knowledge, it's about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you'll know what God's will is for your life. You'll be able to outwork it. That is what God is doing. He wants us to sacrifice ourselves to him, to surrender and to submit to him as Lord of our lives, and allow him to determine what our lives do, where we go, what we do, what we say. How do we do that? Right? A living sacrifice is a prepared sacrifice. A prepared sacrifice means you know what you're doing, and you deliberately do it. And you need to know what a sacrifice meant. In the Old Testament, when they sacrificed the lamb, they prepared it in a certain way so it was able to be received as an offering. This is how they prepared it. They slit its throat and drained its blood. If you're going to prepare yourself as a living sacrifice, you're going to be willing to slit your throat and drain your blood. Not physically, alright? Blood running down the carpet. But spiritually, Jesus said, you need to deny yourself, take up the cross daily and follow me. Lose your life to gain his life. We're going to be willing to totally die to doing it our way. As a choice where we say, I die to myself, I deny it daily. It's a daily thing we have to do. The head was chopped off. It's like we cannot be in charge with our head. Bottom line is, we're going to be saying like Jesus, not my will, but yours were done. He was the perfect sacrifice. He did this every day. He presented himself morning by morning as a disciple, it says in Isaiah. We're going to be willing to say, not my will, but yours be done. I'm not going to get my head and decide what I'm going to do. The skin was removed. We cannot have defense mechanisms, protection mechanisms, and our own self-righteousness. We've got to be vulnerable and transparent before God and others. So that we can't protect ourselves, we live in his protection. We've got the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the armor of God to protect us. We haven't got any of them if we try and protect ourselves with our own stuff. Time to let it go. They split the body completely open and washed all the inward parts. God wants our hearts purified and refined and washed in the living water of his word and his presence. We've got to be willing to open up our hearts, open up our lives. That's what a living sacrifice is. It's saying everything belongs to you. I'm not hiding anything from you. You've got it all. The last thing, they chop the legs off. But we can't walk our own way. We've got to surrender daily and say, I'm going to walk according to the Spirit today. I'm going to do nothing other than I see the Father doing. That's how Jesus did his miracles. He saw the Father doing it. He's calling us to have the same thing. Miracles, signs and wonders, being led by the Spirit daily, following him. Not doing our own thing and going off in our own direction. But every day, surrendering that day to God and say, God, this day belongs to you. This is your day. I'm just here as a servant. You lead me, use me, empower me, envision me, show me what you're doing. Whether you go to heaven and he gives you revelation there, whether you spend time in your spirit, in communion and fellowship with God, he will reveal if you present yourself as a living sacrifice. He will use us if we give him the opportunity. But you've got to prepare it. You can't do it willy-nilly or half-hearted. He knows. He knows if you're not if you're half-hearted for him. And I believe God today is challenging us to surrender. Some of you have been hardening your hearts. Some of you have been hardening your heart to what's been going on in the evening. You turn up when you have to, but actually God wants you to be here because you want to. And he wants you to surrender totally to him and allow him to do what he needs to do. Acts 3:19. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If we're willing to turn away from ourselves, surrender to him, he will refresh us from his very presence. That's a promise. The question is, are we willing? Or we still want to do it our own way? Or we still want to do it in our own thinking? Or are we willing to surrender that and allow God? Are we willing to give him everything? He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants everything. He's not satisfied with what we're giving him, guys. All of us. All of us need to surrender everything. Abandon yourself to him. Be that living sacrifice and let it go. Let go of your past and let him heal it and restore it. He will restore your soul if you're willing to sit in green pastures and quiet waters and look at his face. See his eyes. Looking at you, loving you, seeing your pain and your hurt, and bringing healing because he loves you. He went on to the cross and took every sickness, every pain, every disease, every sin that we've ever committed or ever will, and has been committed against us, and he died for us. And he was resurrected and is alive to enforce the victory of the cross in our lives if we will allow him to do it. question is, will we let it go? We need to receive our true identity as the sons of God. The only way we receive it is letting go of our old identity, letting go of our old way of doing it, our old stronghold mindset, and embrace your destiny. Every one of you have got a destiny in God. God wants you to embrace it. And today, I really believe, is a time where we need to make a decision in our hearts. Those of you who've been lukewarm, resistant, doing it because you think, well, I need to go as far as I'm going to get away with and it will be okay, isn't enough anymore. It's not enough to play around with this. God wants your whole life, everything. And when you give him your whole life, you get his abundant life. You get everything you ever desired or wanted. But it's being blocked by your stubbornness and the flesh and the stronghold that get in the way. Today is a time where we can surrender. I'm not going to say any more. I want to encourage you right now to take a minute to be quiet, to close your eyes, and just to ask, be honest before God about where you are with him right now. Be totally honest with him. If you're struggling, surrender that struggle. If you know there's things you haven't handed over to him, hand them over. Just count the cost right now of what if you miss what God is doing right now, of what doing things your own way will bring you, where it will lead you and where it will take you, opposed to when if you surrender your life to God, where that will take you, your destiny in God, in the Holy Spirit, in the future kingdom of God, in what God is doing. You have a destiny if you are willing to surrender yourself to it. I want to pray. If you feel, yeah, I want to surrender myself afresh to God. I want to give him everything. Whether you've done it before, if you know you haven't and you want to do it again now, I just encourage you just to prepare your hearts like that. You may want to do something as a demonstration of that. Stand up, put your hands up, get on your knees, on your face. Whatever you need to do, be willing to do it, because God is saying he wants the whole of your life. He wants to give you so much more than you can imagine or think, but he can't because you're not giving it to him. Surrender to him right now. If you need to do something as a demonstration of that, I'd encourage you to do it. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship God. We're going to praise him. And during that time, I want you just to give your whole self to him. Don't be restricted, hindered. Don't observe and watch other people. Actually forget what anyone else is doing and just get in the presence of God. Just pray right now, Father, that you will receive the sacrifice, the living sacrifice that your people here, each of your children, are presenting before you right now. That you will receive it into your hands. Receive these lives. Receive these souls, these minds, these hearts, these wills, these emotions, these choices. Receive each as a living sacrifice. Heal, restore, make whole. Empower, envision, equip. Intimacy. Draw them into a relationship with you, Father. Each of us, Lord God, as we surrender to you, just come. Meet with us at that point of surrender. As we surrender our life, give us your abundant life. As we surrender our hurts and pains, bring healing and restoration. As we surrender our past, give us revelation of the future. Open up the eyes of our hearts to see, to hear, to feel, and to know who we are as your sons. Release our true identity as your sons, called for a time such as this. Call to the kingdom for a time such as this. Prepare our bodies with fragrant oils and fragrant perfume to come into the presence of the King. Because we come into the presence of the King right now as a living sacrifice presented before your throne in the heavenly realms so that we can take our seats. Seated with Christ in authority and power in the heavenly realms to manifest your kingdom as it is in heaven, on earth, through our lives. Manifest in the light of your glory. Take us, Lord God. Take our hearts. Lord God, if there are hard hearts here, melt them with your love, with your eyes of love. You're looking into people's hearts right now, saying, give me your heart. Stop being stubborn. Stop resisting. Surrender. Surrender. Be a living sacrifice. I've got so much to give you, God says. So much more than you could imagine or think. Today, just surrender to me and allow me to do what I want to do in your life. Allow me to direct your life in the way it should go, to empower you and envision you, embrace your destiny. Pray, Holy Spirit, just touch our lives afresh today. As we've turned away from our own way, as we've repented and turned to you, let time of refreshing come from your very presence. Let your presence rest on us. Open up the realms of heaven. Invite us. You're inviting us to the throne room to meet the King and to be invested with clothes, new clothes. God wants you to know some of you are going to get new clothes today, new robes of righteousness, new robes of authority and kingly authority, because you're surrendering. He wants to give you new things, a ring of authority on your finger. He wants to release power and anointing upon you. Just surrender. Surrender to Him. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father.